Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Mike, one of the pastors here, if you don't know who I am, and this is me, and here we are, okay? So normally everything happens a little slower, but this morning things are moving quickly, and it's, you know, it is what it is. So it's going to be a great morning. It's an interesting morning. Pastor Naeem maybe alluded to this a few minutes ago, but a couple weeks or a month or so ago, I'm like trying to figure out what I'm going to talk about today, because it's my turn to be up, and we're giving him a little bit of time to rest and just to recuperate or rejuvenate or something, I don't know. And I just really felt like God was saying, I needed to talk about unity this morning. And I was like, unity, that's boring. But I stuck with the course, and that's what we're talking about this morning. And what an appropriate time. I mean, it's just with everything that's happened, maybe it's what we need to hear. Maybe it was completely designed by God, knowing the future. And so here we are. But before we jump into that, I want to ask you, maybe a little bit of an assessment this morning. You don't have to answer this out loud. It's completely rhetorical, because it could be a little bit, I don't know. I'm wondering this morning, how are you a praying people? When you think about your prayer life, do you think like, yes, I'm there. I spend 4 hours a day in prayer. That's not the standard, by the way. That's definitely not my standard. But or maybe you're like, yeah, we pray every now and then, or pray a little bit. But here's a question: have you ever prayed for something and it didn't happen? I mean, something legit. Have you ever prayed for something legit? Have you ever prayed for a new car, or you prayed for a new spouse, because the old one? Oh, yeah, you shouldn't be praying for a new spouse, should you? Whether he's old or young, that's definitely. But you prayed for something, and it didn't happen. And it was legit. It was so legit. Like, maybe you prayed that your relationship with your spouse would be different or changed, and that the two of you would be closer. And maybe you've prayed for something like a relationship that was broken. Maybe that's what you prayed for. Maybe you prayed for someone. You know, it's kind of why we go to the candles sometimes. Maybe we lit a candle and prayed for someone who you knew had an addiction, that was addicted to something. Or maybe you prayed for someone that they would just have an encounter with Jesus in a way that would change their whole world and their whole perspective. And it just didn't happen. I mean, I feel like I prayed for all those things and it just didn't happen. I prayed for a friend. The church that I was at previously, I prayed for a friend who was addicted to cocaine. I mean, we got down on our knees. I mean, okay, I was a Baptist before. We got down on our knees and we prayed, and I prayed, God, would you just take this away from him? Would you just relieve him of this? Would you just free him of this addiction? And the next day, he's broken into a house. He's taken money from that house. He's bought drugs from an undercover cop, of all things. And he's arrested while he was high. earlier in our marriage, and I don't know if you think that pastors are just immune to issues in their marriage. If you think that, let me refocus you and let you know, we're not. We're not. Earlier in my marriage, in Jennifer and I's marriage, there was a time that I prayed, God, would you just change my relationship with my wife? And then I realized I was the problem. So be careful what you pray for. But no, but you prayed for things like that, right? And don't you just love the people that want to encourage you when you're praying for things like that? Typically, they're Christians. And they want to give you these one-liner spiritual encouragements. And they say something like, well, God's probably just trying to teach you a lesson. I'm like, thank you for that. I really appreciate that. And I wish he would just go ahead and finish his teaching because I'm ready and I'm ready to move on too. Or they give you, I love this one, right? Well, everything happens for a reason. Well, yeah, he broke into a house. He stole money. He bought drugs. The reason he's in jail, that's the reason. But we've all prayed for some legit stuff in our lives, and it just totally went the opposite direction. And here's what's interesting. The same thing happened to Jesus. Jesus prayed for something, and it totally was unanswered. Look at this passage in John chapter 17. Here's what it says. My prayer, Jesus is praying. He said, my prayer is not for them alone. And them, he's referring to his disciples. He's pulled away from them. He's off somewhere, I don't know. He's praying, and he's praying, my prayer is not for just them alone. I pray for all those who will believe in me through their message. And this Greek language, what he's actually saying is not just for them, but for those that they talk to and the people that those people talk to and on and on and on and you and the people you talk to. So this is like a continuous prayer. I pray for them, not just them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be what? One. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And that's the important part, that the world, they see this and they know that the world will know that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them, and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete what? Unity. Actually, the Greek word is oneness. Unity is perfect. That they may be brought to complete unity. Oh God, what has happened, right? Jesus prayed that his followers would be known by their unity, that they would be unified. He prayed that they may be one as we are one. One, not multiples, just one in harmony. I mean, you get that, right? You realize how important unity can be in our jobs. If there are multiple groups of people, they're all trying to achieve the same thing, but they're all trying to do it in a completely different way. You can end up working against one another even. Another place that it kind of shows up is in our families, especially with our kids. Early on, Jennifer and I, you know, when we were starting to have kids, we said, okay, we've got to be united on this thing. If she says no, I've got to say no. If I say yes, she's got to say yes. It's usually the other way around. If she creates a boundary, I've got to hold that boundary. Otherwise, the kids will be running the show, right? Those of you that have kids, you understand this. Maybe it's in your extended family, when you talk about boundaries, when when you're working together as a group or as a team, unity is what actually helps us be successful. So that's what Jesus prayed for. He prayed for unity among his followers. But clearly, it didn't happen. Have you looked around lately and thought about how unified we are as followers of Jesus? I don't just mean at Mosaic. I mean the church nationwide. I mean the church worldwide. He didn't pray that just we, Mosaic, would be one. Sure, it starts here. This is where we have some element of control. But he prayed that all of his followers, the capital C church, would be one. You remember that passage of scripture where Jesus and his disciples are up in Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus looks at the disciples that are with him, and he said to them, he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And they said, "Well, you know, some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say you're Elijah. Some people say you're one of the prophets." And he looked at them and he said, "That's fantastic, but who do you say that I am?" And Peter pipes up, and what does he say? He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responds to him and says, "And I tell you, Peter, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." You get that? On this rock, on this foundational truth, I will build my church. Have you ever thought about that? I will build my church. The Baptist church, the AME Zion church, the Presbyterian church, the Catholic church, the Pentecostal Holiness church, the Wesleyan church, the Luther. Is that what he was talking about? I don't think so. I mean, one means one, right? It's not Baskin Robbins. It's not multiple flavors. I mean, suppose you could still be one, but maybe have different expressions based on your culture. I mean, that's got to be true. Maybe it's like your style of music or something. But these denominations were founded because of their disagreement, because of their disunity on theological principles. Principles like, how are you supposed to be baptized? Is that really that important? Founded on principles like, is the Holy Spirit actually working today like it worked in New Testament times? Is it? That's important, but it's not the most essential thing. Here's another one. Can you lose your salvation? All right? Part of my question is, why are you even thinking things like that? And you laugh, and I'm glad you laugh, because that was when I was ordained. I was going through this process in the Baptist church where I was at the time. I was going through the process of ordination. It's when you get to attach reverend, which I kind of despise, honestly. Reverend in front of your name. I like, so you want to call me something different than Mike, you can just say Pastor Mike. That's perfect. I love that. That's great. Mike is good though. Mike is better. But I was going through this process, and we had to answer these questions. And one of the questions that's important to Baptists is that you understand the concept of once saved, always saved. In other words, you can't lose your salvation. Again, I'm like, why are you even thinking these things? Why? I had to answer the question in a way that didn't compromise my integrity, but didn't compromise my ability to be ordained, what God was calling me to, because there was such division and disunity. It was just crazy. Do you know that in the United States alone, in just the United States, there are more than 2 100 denominations. That just blows my mind. I know there are at least 10 or 12, but there are more than 200 denominations. And one writer, as I was kind of processing through this, one writer said, he said this, a cursory look shows that differences in belief, power grabs, and corruption all had a part in that. And save for that first group of people with Jesus, and I'm not quite sure you could say this about that group, but he went on to say, there has never been a unified Christianity. It's just sad. It's sad. And you know why it's sad? You know why Jesus prayed that we would all be one? You remember the story in Genesis chapter 11, the story of Babel? Now, I realize you think it's a language learning app for your phone. It is. I've got that app, too. I thought I would learn to speak Italian. Ask me how that's going. But the story in Genesis chapter 11, here's what it says. Now, the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we can make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered all over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. And here's what the Lord said. This is the interesting part. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. That's pretty interesting, right? God recognized that when there is unity, there is nothing that is impossible for us to achieve. I like that. That's the way he created us. That's why he prayed what he did. That's what he wants for us. The problem is the enemy knows that if he can keep us divided, not only can he keep us from making a difference inside the church, he will also keep us from making a difference outside the church. I mean, one of the most unappealing things about any organization, whether it's your job, whether it's your family, whether it's your group of friends or your neighbors or whatever it is, one of the most unappealing things is disunity, right? I mean, every day at your job, if everyone is just arguing and stabbing one another in the back, just constant betrayal and mistrust, you don't want to be a part of that, do you? You don't want to be in that type of environment. The same is true for the church. Non-Christians, maybe even Christians, look at the sheer number of denominations and how they're so divided and different, and they just don't want to be a part of that anymore. Most people, if you poll most people in the world, they will say, whether they're a Christian, whether they're a non-Christian, whether they participate in church, whether they don't participate in church, they will say they believe in something. They might not know what it is, but they believe in something. But because of what they find in churches, they never actually get to experience the life and the blessing of having a developed and mature faith. And that's on us. They don't want to be a part of what we have created to help them understand and build a faith. That's on us. So I guess that's why Mosaic is non-denominational, right? I mean, did we get it right? I don't know. Even non-denominational churches believe different things. So now that 200 number goes up a little bit. Here's the deal. We can only change Mosaic. We can only make a difference, a different kind. We can only make us a different kind of place, a place that works at being one like Jesus prayed. Now, I believe we can influence more than just Mosaic. We can be people who can prove that it's actually possible to be united. But we can only change us. That means the first thing that we have to recognize and accept is that we won't always agree on everything. And that's okay. As long as we believe in the main things, chiefly, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And recognizing that and accepting that that is the first step to overcoming the enemy's attempts to drive a wedge between us and keeping us from doing what he's called us to do, which you know is reclaiming the message and movement of Jesus. You know that's our mission, right? I mean, we've spoken about this morning in general terms, but one example that is polarizing Americans in general and even in the church, and we've mentioned this before, we'll mention it again before November 5th passes, right? We won't all agree on who to vote for, and that's okay, because at the end of the day, we know that God is king, and the only way that the only thing that can ever save this world that the enemy is invaded is our king. So what does unity at Mosaic look like? It's got to look like something. What does it look like? I think, first of all, unity is loving together. Unity is loving together. Paul talked about unity in Ephesians chapter 4. He talked about love a lot of different places, but particularly in Ephesians 4. Here's what it says. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. We have a calling on our lives. And here's what he says. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Loving together means that we have to be quick to give grace. Yeah, I know what he said. I know what she said. But I'm going to believe that he didn't mean it the way that he actually said it, right? When we don't agree or something offends us, we love first, which means being humble and gentle and patient. I don't know if you know, but last week I was at my home church, and after the message that I spoke, most of the people in the church came and said, that was great, or enjoyed that, or, you know, what people normally say, right? And everybody was complimentary, everybody except one. You know, there's always one, right? And I was standing there talking to someone else, and he just kind of came behind me and just said a few things. He just blistered in and interrupted what I said with his comment. And it wasn't an attack, but it kind of felt like an attack. And there wasn't a real engagement. There was no conversation. It was just him lobbing this comment and then walking off. There was nothing constructive about that approach. We will disagree on things in church. We will have, you know, questions. We will need to process. Paul says, be patient, be gentle, be humble. Unity is loving together. Unity is believing together. Believing what? Believing in our mission to reclaim the message and movement of Jesus. But not only that, it's also believing that we can actually do it, right? I think some of us think it's a great mission, But I don't know if we all believe we can actually do it. I mentioned my home church a minute ago. Here's their mission. Good Baptist Church. Looking up, growing inward, reaching outward, and moving towards Jesus. That's not our mission. It's a good mission. Sounds like them, but that's not our mission. I hope you can hear the difference. There's nothing wrong with their mission. And our mission will actually make us culturally look different than them, because our mission calls us to do things different from them. There's another church, a prominent church in this area. Here's their mission. They exist so that people far from God will be raised to life in Christ. That's a great mission. It's a fantastic mission. We'll even put some emphasis on some of the same things they put emphasis on. I think you could even put that mission inside of our mission. Unity is believing together in our mission, and that we can accomplish this mission in this world that is so desperate for it. Unity is believing together. Unity is giving together. It's recognizing that any movement, no matter what movement it is, takes money to accomplish it. I know it stinks, right? It does. It's just the way the world works. And we can't all give the same amount. We recognize that. But we can give to accomplish our mission. And that's why we ask you to give. That's why we're doing this goal of having 30 new percentage givers. Because we know that, I mean, hey, there are at least 30 new people or 30 new families who are a part of Mosaic. And we know there are a few people that have been here for longer than the last year, and we can get them on board too, maybe. But unity is giving together. Unity is serving together. Reclaiming the message and movement of Jesus takes a multitude of people, not just a few, people to create an environment where when people arrive, they feel like they belong. People know that their kids and their teenagers are being provided for and a place that they can learn and grow in their faith. A place where we can worship and connect with God. A place where we can come together and encourage one another and connect with one another. That's why we ask you to be on a volunteer team here at Mosaic. And that's why we make it easy. The card in the seat pocket in front of you has a QR code on it. All you have to do is scan it, and we'll pick it up, and we'll take you the rest of the way. But I know you think we have just a ton of volunteers here at Mosaic, because every week you come, there's someone in the parking lot. Every week you come, there's someone in the young kids' classrooms. Every week you come, the booth back there is full of people. But I want you to know we don't actually have as many as you think. We used to have a parking team for the first service and a parking team for the second service. Now the guys in the parking lot serve before the first service, catch the second half of the service, and then they're back in the parking lot. Some of the M Kids teachers actually taught last week, and the way we try to work is every other week. We actually need you to serve, to volunteer, because unity is serving together. When we serve together, we are focused on achieving a mission. We have buy-in. Serving together is where a place where unity starts. Choosing together. Unity is choosing together. It's choosing to recognize that there will be valleys and peaks in your spiritual life. And to choose to stay in the game. If I'm completely honest, this morning, I've been in a bit of a valley. Not the last couple of weeks, but, you know, I don't know, it's summertime. maybe I thought I needed to take a vacation from God. You know, that's a terrible idea. But and I didn't do that. I stayed in it. I stayed the course. But sometimes it just felt like I was going through the motions because I was in a bit of a valley spiritually. But I stayed with it. And it's interesting what has, one of the things that has brought me out of it. Have y'all watched The Chosen? Yes. It's just, it has helped. It's one of the major things that has brought me out of the valley. But choosing together and knowing that we'll have valleys, we'll have peaks. It's choosing to stay with it. It's choosing, knowing that we have valleys and peaks, to stay connected to Mosaic. I mean, you won't always feel that connected here. I don't know if you know that. Maybe you've felt that in the past. Maybe you haven't yet. But you won't always feel that connected. Sometimes for us, and my wife will tell you this, she's felt disconnected because some of our friends, they've moved to different cities. And there's a loss there. There's this disconnectedness. And so you won't always feel as connected, but it's choosing to stay together. You won't always feel that connected because there are peaks and valleys to what Mosaic has to offer you. There are times that we'll have all kinds of things and you'll be like, there are so many things I can't choose. And then sometimes you'll feel like, they don't have anything for me. But it's choosing to stay engaged and see that you're part of something bigger than just your own comfort and desires. Unity is choosing together. And unity is standing together. I don't know if you know it or not, but there are people that think we have compromised the Christian values. And by the Christian values, I mean their Christian values. We have compromised the Christian values when we celebrate and encourage diversity. We've compromised their Christian values when we're authentic and real people who don't cover up the fact that we have struggles too. We are, we stand together when we remember that we are creating a space that's inclusive, a space for everyone, a space when we commit to holding hands with both sides and being neutral about every agenda except the agenda of Jesus, which you know is to love God and to love one another. By the way, the cards, a couple of weeks ago I spoke and I asked you to write on these cards what it is that you love about Mosaic. Those are all the things you wrote. And that is encouraging. It's encouraging because it tells me at some level there is some unity among us. Now we have to stand together and protect that so that when people want us to change to be who they want us to be, we don't yield to that. We continue being who God has called us to be. I don't know if you recognize it or not, but unity is not easy. It takes commitment. And I don't just mean commitment in the present. I mean a predetermined commitment to persevere and fight against what will ultimately be the enemy's attempts to separate you from together, which will ultimately stop us from influencing the current condition of spirituality in this world. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. If we stay united, if we stay together, there is nothing that will be impossible for us to achieve. And that's what I want to pray this morning. I want to pray for us just like Jesus did. Will you stand? Lord God, we thank you that you've called us into a mission and that you've created us to be a people who can actually attain that mission. But God, you also, you knew what we needed to actually make this happen even before we were even close to being in existence. You knew that we needed unity. And you prayed for us, just like you prayed for that group of men and women who surrounded you on those days that you were here on this earth. And so we pray, God, that you would unify us, that you would make us one like you and God are one. And God, we just want to recognize this morning that it's not easy. We have opinions, we have agendas, we have beliefs. But God, I'm just praying this morning that you'll help us to put those aside and that you'll help us to stay focused on knowing that you want to do some amazing things through us in this world. That you want us to claim that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that not only do you want us to live in that and to embody that, but you want us to give that to the world. So God, help us. Help us stay unified and help us to accomplish the mission that you've called us to. We pray in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.